The theater. Bring out Louis!
Theater.
To be or not to be.
Theater.
Oh, hey, friends.
Oh, hey.
Hello.
We're back.
We're back in action.
It's been
over a month. It's been about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has.
Wow. God, it flew, too.
It flew. The holidays were crazy and also awesome. I went home and I bundled up with my mom and dad and watched movies and played with the dog and forgot about the world for a little bit. It was quite lovely.
With the fam. We love time with the fam. Well, we missed y'all. We missed you, listeners.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a minute. This isn't a real episode.
No.
This is something we're dropping to let you know what we're doing with the real episodes.
What the hell is going on?
I wanted to sort of introduce our... Well, we, the three of us, we wanted to... I don't want to speak for y'all, but it's we, right? We're an entity.
You can speak for me.
Yeah. Thanks. I will.
I know.
As much as possible from now on.
Sure, okay.
The three of us really wanted to introduce to y'all what we're planning to do this season, because it's going to be a little bit different than the last three seasons.
Why?
Well, the number one reason is that the podcast had a baby.
Yes.
Well.
The podcast gave birth at a birth center in Los Angeles. And, yeah, so I have a new little baby, and that means that I don't have nearly as much time on my hands for a lot of reasons. Mostly poop is the reason.
Poop.
A lot of poop and spit up. Mount Vesuvius levels.
Yeah, it doesn't stop.
A flow.
Yeah,
it never stops. So this is what we're going to do this season. And fill in some blanks for me, y'all, because... Yeah. And I want to hear what you're most excited about in the season, too. But basically what we're going to do is we're going to make an entire season of N-Stuffs. So in the last three seasons, we have done what's called an N-Stuff. So between every playwright miniseries, we would cover something random, just a bonus episode of something theater, a movie, a performing arts piece, whatever it may be, an interview, whatever. Those were really easy to produce because they were fun and we were off the cuff and we weren't having to do a lot of research and we were just like watching a movie or kicking it and discussing something. And so we're going to do a bunch of those episodes this season.
Yeah.
But we're still going to do five playwrights throughout, five playwright miniseries so that we can keep... I mean, we got to keep up the playwright thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we're not going to call every episode an N-Stuff. It's just going to be the show now. So theater kind of has a new definition. So I want to introduce the podcast. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Here we go. It's very different. Welcome to Theater, the theater podcast for theater nerds made by three theater makers from the LA theater scene. I'm J. Bailey Burcham.
I'm CJ Merriman.
And I'm Scott Leggett.
And each week, we get together to discuss and debate the definition of theater through various projects and various lenses.
All right.
That's good.
All right. Yeah,
like
all right. Okay.
It's a little wordy. We'll get better as we have through the seasons of making it a little cleaner. But that's it. We're just going to be discussing theater. What is theater? What makes this theater? What makes this movie theater? What makes this play theater? What makes this experience theater? So we're going to expand that definition a little bit this season and cover some weirder shit. We're also going to keep covering things like my mini-series within a mini-series. We're going to keep doing the live NBC musicals because we got to do Grease and we got to do Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. My playwright choice, and I've crowed about it for a while now, is Andrew Lloyd Webber. Big part of my childhood, adolescence, and just so much delicious trash to work with, and I just think it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah, but like guilty pleasure trash.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Phantom of the Opera was my Lolita when I was in junior high.
And nostalgia.
What? What is that comparison?
An inappropriate relationship between a man and a two young woman that's kind of played off as romantic in a weird, creepy way.
Gotcha. Oh, I see. Yeah. You're comparing. I thought you were saying Lolita, the character, is Phantom of the Opera, and you are Humbert Humbert.
Okay. No, the story.
I understand now. Okay. Well, I have salacious thoughts about Phantom of the Opera. No,
I did when I was 12.
Forbidden. Yeah, okay.
I'm excited because it's my pick, and we're going to do Stop Making Sense, the Talking Heads concert movie. That's going to feature Nicole Dressel, who's been on our show before, and her
partner, Paula Vogel miniseries,
right? Yes. And her partner, the brilliant Jay Dutcher. So we're all going to get together and watch that, and then we'll talk about it. But I imagine that.
But you're leaving out a piece of this puzzle. We're getting together and we're watching Stop Making Sense and American Utopia.
Yes.
Right.
And then we're recording both episodes. They'll just come out like a few months apart.
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct.
So you're getting both.
We're getting both. And
you're getting so
much to talk about both on a theatrical level. So I'm really, really stoked about that.
And we get to talk Spike Lee when we talk American Utopia.
We get to talk Demi when we do Stop Making Sense.
Anyway,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. We're doing Brandon Jacobs.
I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you. So I'm looking forward to getting into that and having those discussions. And really, I really want to get into that text.
We snagged some really great guests for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll announce those as they come because I just want to make sure that they actually happen before we start telling you how exciting they are. But we do have some cool guests for the season. Yeah, it's going to be
Fringe again.
And Fringe. We're covering Fringe really heavy this year. That's going to be super fun. This is going to be a great season. As you know, we like to just like talk nonsense and banter. There's a couple things theater related that I think we could talk about here. This is a good platform for it. One is, Scott, you sent us an article maybe 2-3 weeks ago now, which it's kind of left my memory palace. But I want to know, in your words, what was this article about and why did you feel it's worth talking about on this podcast?
So, yeah, it was an article that had popped up on Twitter through theater Twitter feed. And it just was, I just felt an interesting sort of, I don't know if paradox is the right word, but conundrum, certainly.
On stage blog.
On stage blog.
On stage blog. Okay. Well, so, okay.
And so it was like this intersection of academia and education and what is appropriate at what age, what is the relationship between a teacher and student, what's a student's responsibility, what's a teacher's responsibility in terms of...
A big conversation in all industries, but especially in the theater and film industries,
Right.
Yeah.
It was Las Vegas Academy of the Arts. A 15-year-old girl was made to do a monologue written by one of her classmates discussing cheating on her boyfriend with a girl because she realizes she's a lesbian because she hates his dick and having sex with it. Her parents found out a month later, got pissed off, told the school. The school didn't do anything about it, so now they're suing them for $50,000. The school and the superintendent, I think.
Mm. Wow.
My initial reaction to this, and I kind of was hoping the article would cover it, is how did the family find out about it? And did anybody ever ask this 15-year-old if she was uncomfortable with it? Or was it her parents that were uncomfortable with it? I just felt like this was a failing of adults on every fucking level.
That's personally it. That kind of hits it, the nail on the head for me. Inevitably, it's an overreaction from the parents. The article doesn't go into detail about how they found out at all.
Yeah.
And we don't know that. That's another thing. We don't know what this 15-year-old's experience was and whether or not they felt uncomfortable about it. You know, but again, you're dealing with a school and a teacher and touchy subject matter, important subject matter, and subject matter that 15-year-olds should certainly be allowed to discuss. But it seemed a little unfiltered, like the teacher just went, here's the monologue that your fellow classmate wrote, and you're going to do it. And you know, what was the teacher's notes about the monologue and about the, you know, level of appropriateness for it. And it just sort of struck me. It's like there, I don't know what the answer is to any of these problems, but, you know, I can understand the parents being upset about it to some degree. And I don't know if I would go sue for it, but, you know, I don't
grow
know
up, America. Everyone sues everyone way fucking much. But also they're suing because the school said, like, oh, yeah, we're going to do something about it. And then nothing happened. Mm. I also thought, like, for the teacher, this could have been kind of a really good moment in the classroom for the actor, too, of just saying, like, how are you feeling about this material? Are you uncomfortable? And then having this moment in the classroom later that it's like, you know, material like this comes up and you have to decide. Because I can say for myself at 15, I would have been uncomfortable doing that monologue in that class. Other 15-year-olds might not have, you know? Sure. So, yeah, it just sounds like a bunch of adults, like, putting up their peacock feathers and being jerks to each other.
Because the exercise, as it was defined, seemed very interesting to me. The idea that you're doing monologues written by your classmates and trying to dial into personal stuff and then connect yourself to that other person's personal stuff. That's a great
That teacher maybe should have vetted the monologue beforehand. And if they did then and handed it out, then that's a different thing. I think theater is sort of the comeuppance is right now for all of theater and Broadway and otherwise, but especially in like the educational side of theater, because you're dealing with young adults and teenagers and even below that sometimes. Unfortunately, and this is the argument I hear from a lot of people our age and beyond who do a lot of that, like, well, when I was in high school, when I was in college, I was doing much denser material, you know, more perverted material. It's like, well, that's not a good thing, first of all. But second of all, we are in a different world, a different generation of people with different circumstances where, of course, their minds are different. Of course, our minds are different. Like, you know, I mean, this is how the world works, right? Yeah. It's a cycle. But we've also, in the theater community, we have normalized sexualizing
everything.
Young people in general.
That was the other thing that made me uncomfortable about it.
Well, yeah, but so what I think probably happened here, and I could be way off base, what I think probably happened here, as it's happened a million times on every campus everywhere, is the teacher tells everybody to write a monologue. One kid saw a Tarantino movie and decided to write a Tarantino monologue or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. They handed them to each other. The kid got up and did the monologue. Someone filmed it or someone talked about it or someone whatever. A month later, it comes up in a conversation and or it gets around and someone says, like, remember this monologue she did? And it's probably even all innocent. Sure. And then the mom hears about it and is like, well, what's the monologue? And then the daughter's like, oh, I don't want to tell you. And she's like, no, I want to see the monologue. And then it gets blown out of proportion. And then the mom's like, my daughter's being sexualized. This is what's, you know, and then everything explodes. But it's like, yeah, but the teacher should have read all the monologues first, period.
Sure.
And if that teacher had normalized in their classroom that this was something that was allowed, which it sounds like they had for the student to feel like that they could do this monologue, right? Then it doesn't sound like they were forced to do this monologue. It sounds like they were handed a monologue and they chose to do it in front of the class, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, at the end of the day, what we need to do is shift the culture of theater, shift the culture of what is allowed in a safe space, a safe collaborative space, and what that means to build a safe collaborative space, because that's not safe. A 15-year-old doing a monologue like that in school is not safe. There's a different version of that where there's an acting coach and the mother is there and they've booked a role and they're like, you have to do this really dense thing. Let's have your mom come in and let's work on this together and make sure that everyone's comfortable with it. And let's get an intimacy coach and let's get away. You know, like, there's a version of this that's fine. It doesn't sound like that's what happened here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of discussion to be had around a lot of nuance, but let's get out of here. The last thing I wanted to throw out there is a little bit more positive note, because we just got to say something about it. I don't want to spend any time on it in our next episode, because our next episode is going to be super fun. I want to close out talking about what happened today, which is the Oscar nominations came out. And I saw everything this year. There's only a couple things I need to see, and it's like Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. and like some foreign film, right? I've seen everything. I have opinions on everything. I'm not going to get super deep into it. I do have some problems with some of the nominations, but I'm happy with some of the others. Do y'all have takes? Y'all have feelings?
I think the big one for me, and Bailey and I had the pleasure of just seeing it this past weekend together, is Women Talking. Yeah. I'm so glad it got recognition. I wish there had been more acting recognition, but it was such an ensemble.
No acting nominations.
I know.
Makes no sense.
It doesn't. But it was such a low budget movie. They didn't have a lot of money to campaign. And so the word of mouth and pure quality. Plus, it's a very ensemble thing. It's a very ensemble movie.
Yeah.
But yes, I agree with you.
Claire Foy and Jesse Buckley are currently battling it out in my supporting actress column right now.
Right.
It's fine.
It's fine. They're extraordinary. No.
Every year, I drop the flickies. They're my. I don't like the Oscar structure. I don't like what they choose. So this is purely Bailey based. You know, Whatever. No one really cares. But you can follow my Instagram, or you can j.bailey.b. But also on Twitter, Bailey loves ranking shit. I post it all there.
Loves it.
And I post my entire ranking. I watched over 80 films this year, brand new films in 2022, and they are ranked. I have a ranking.
but I'm really thrilled that Everything Everywhere All at Once got the attention.
I want it to win Everything Everywhere All
too.
At Once.
I think it might win Best Picture.
It's possible.
Bailey loves ranking shit.
These are my top 10 films of 2022. Here we go. Number 10, Park Chan-wook's Decision to Leave.
Love that fucking movie. It did
so
not get the
good.
Attention. So good.
Number 9. Matilda, the musical.
Oh, you made it. It made it. It made your top 10. It's delightful.
Number 8. Nope.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Fuck the Oscars for not nominating it.
Yeah. Number 7. Barbarian.
Oh, that's the Hamlet one, right?
No.
Oh,
that's the Northman.
The Northman. Pardon me.
Which is, hold on. The Northman is number 38.
Oh.
Oh, by the way, I have a movie I have to watch tonight called After Sun, which got a lot of, it actually got a Best Actor nomination.
Yes.
Everyone keeps telling me it's going to be my favorite movie of the year, so that might fuck up my whole ranking, but I'm going to keep going. Number 6, Glass Onion, A Knives Out Story.
Mm. Nice.
A Knives Out Mystery, whatever it was. Number 5, Banshees of Inisherin, which also wins my Best Original Screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4, The Fabelmans.
Mm.
Number 3, Women Talking, which also gets my Best Adapted Screenplay. And at joint first and second, because I cannot make up my mind. I have rewatched Everything Everywhere All at Once. I need to rewatch Tar. They are my two top films of the year. I can't decide how I'm ranking them yet, but Tar is winning my Best Director, so I might just give it to Everything Everywhere so that it gets Best Director.
Spread the wealth.
My bottom film is Moonfall. The Roland Emmerich.
I remember everyone
moon
talking
crashes
about that
into
movie.
The. Oh, it's so bad. The one right before that though is Secrets of Dumbledore, which is hot garbage.
Oh my god, it's so bad.
And they're not doing the rest of those movies now, right? Didn't you tell me that, Scott?
Right. Yeah. Part of the whole Warner Brothers restructuring stuff going on.
I think that sounds great.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
well,
a good list, B. That's a good list,
yeah.
B.
It's a good list, B.
Yeah.
It's a good list, B.
Yeah.
Do y'all have anything you want to spotlight about LA theater?
LA Spotlight.
Friend of the pod, Amanda Blake Davis, is directing Not Now at the Brick House Theater in NoHo.
Dope.
February 4th through March 5th, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 3.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I love y'all.
Love you. Good to be back.
New season.
Yeah, feels good.
Fourth season.
Feels comfy.
Fourth season.
This is our fourth year of doing it. We'll be doing it.
Hell fucking yes.
It's cool. That's cool. Yeah.
Oh, we're doing Martin McDonagh this season.
Yeah, we are.
Writer and director of Banshees of Inisherin. All right. Yeah. Join us next week for our first episode of the season. It's a CJ pick. It's actually a bunch of people wrote in their favorite theater experiences. I asked for the most earth-shattering theater experiences, and I've got a bunch of them. So I'm just going to read a bunch
Thanks
of earth-shattering
help,
theater experiences. Yeah. So tune in for that.
Y'all have questions or comments? You can contact us on Twitter Instagram, Facebook, or via email. Scott?
Thank you, CJ. A big shout out to Ryan Thomas Johnson, who writes our theme song. Our theme song is better than your theme song.
Yeah.
And he also writes all of our stingers, and he's an amazing human being. And finally, to the great Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Annie Baker, who writes...
Annie Baker does not write this podcast anymore. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, that's
right.
I
knew you were going to forget. Yeah. It's okay. It's fine, but I need you to know that the writer of this podcast is Carol fucking Churchill.
All right, can I back up?
Yep.
And finally, to the great legendary British playwright, Carol Churchill, who writes every single one of our episodes.
Are you being Carol Churchill while introducing that Carol Churchill? I'm confused by the bit.
I'm just leaning into it. This is what it's going to be all season. This is what it's going to be all season.
Carol.
And one day, Carol Churchill, we're going to buy you a fucking beer. That's what I got.
Or like a wine.
Brandy.
Champagne. Brandy.
No,
I don't know. I think
I bet Carol can squill some whiskey.
Well,
maybe some scotch.
Some rye.
Oh, that's what I got. I love you both.
Yeah.
Love you.
Yeah.
Bing. Bing, 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 bing. Ding, 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 ding. In sleep he's hanging. In dreams he came.
Man, I gotta listen to the soundtrack.
Later, everybody.
The theater, the theater. Hang out, Louie! Theater, theater. To be or not to be. Theater, theater.